Are President Trump's policies on the Central American caravan reasonable or racist? So asks former law professor and author Dr. Carol M. Swain. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Carol Swain is our guest. By the way, her websites are bethepeoplenews.com and carolmswain.com. Dr. Swain, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, so you, by the way, you write regular pieces on issues like this. Is that correct? And people
I
can
do.
See those
in
things?
In fact, I was given a great opportunity in September by the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, Times. And so I've been writing a weekly, sometimes a biweekly column.
Great. Okay, and one of them is on this issue of the caravan. What are your thoughts in terms of the president and his reactions?
Well, if you read my article, I believe that the president's response is very reasonable when it comes to requiring that members of the caravan apply for political asylum from a port of entry. And the article explains why that's the case. The members of the caravan, they are fleeing gang violence, poverty, domestic abuse. Some of them say that they want a job. Well, under U.S. law, the criteria for political asylum is well defined. And in fact, in the past, very few people from Central America actually qualify for political asylum. And if they come into the country, then there's such a backlog that they would apply with the magic words that they learned between 2009 and 2014, because in 2009, only about 5,000 people asked for political asylum. By 2014, I believe, it was up to 94,000.
Whoa.
And so it has become a way for people from Central America to get into the country and to stay while they're being processed. But once a judge reviews a case, they are almost always ordered deported.
Huh. Yeah, it's a very scary thing, because on the one hand, it's very emotionally laden. And so, therefore, sometimes the word, and you use the word reasonable, reason gets thrown out the window, and people are responding by emotions, and it's terrible to see tear gas being used against people, sometimes including women and children, although those are the exceptions.
And we also know that tear gas was used because of people that were rushing, you know, the border, trying to push their way in. And that President Obama, during his time, I read somewhere that he had ordered the use of tear gas, I think, up to 500 times. So this is not something unusual for people that are trying to patrol the border. But because of all the focus on the caravan and the media, it's blown out of proportion when it is President Trump.
Right. Okay, why won't they build the wall? Why won't Congress, you know, get down to it and build that wall?
Well, we know that for the Democrats, they don't want a wall that would shut out potential Democratic voters down the road. And we know, based on past elections, it doesn't matter whether they're citizens or non-citizens. If they can find a way to get the people to vote, they will count their vote. And so when Democrats say count every vote, they mean every vote, whether or not the person is legal or not. And so they have a political interest in having as many people as possible who are poor in the country, because they are thinking that they're going to be future Democratic Party voters.
You know, by the way, this radio station, founded ultimately by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, is located in Broward County. And just a few weeks ago, we were having the infamous, you know, situation where there was a recount, or not a recount, but, you know, the process to try and make sure all the votes were right. And there was literally a lawyer from one of the liberal side of the equation that was saying, use the phrase non-citizen, in reference to a potential vote that should be counted or whatever. You know, it's
I
like,
saw that.
Yeah, it's like, you can't be serious. How could a non-citizen vote?
They really don't care. They believe anyone that wants to vote ought to be able to vote whether or not they're a citizen or not. And it dilutes the votes of Americans when people cheat.
Right. Now, Central America, there are other people that are trying to, you know, go to the border and so forth and get in. In fact, I think in some ways, perhaps President Trump's tough response to this current crisis may hopefully discourage that in the future. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think he's being vindicated by the evidence that's coming forth about the people who are in the caravan. Not all of them are from Central American countries, and some of them are criminals. And the fact that they are willing to push their way in, and we see them putting the women and children first. So I think the president is going to be vindicated. I believe the American people would be in favor of building the wall. And the fact that you have the caravan with so many people trying to just walk into the country, it makes a stronger case for a barrier that would be difficult to penetrate. It seems like the barbed wire was not that much of a deterrent.
All right, let me ask you this. If the wall couldn't be built when the Congress was held by the Republicans for the last 2 years under President Trump, Congress as in the House of Representatives, not the Senate, of course, why could we expect that it could be built without a majority in the House of Representatives, you know, being Republican in favor of the wall?
In the Republican Party, there are people who are pretty much, we call them rhinos, Republican in name only, and they seem to be there to obstruct. Senator Flake would be one example of a person that seems more to be a Republican in name only. I think that the only incentive that Democrats or Republicans have to act is when their constituents put pressure on them to do so. And I believe that the pressure to take action will be mounting pressure. And as the president steps forward and Congress asserts its duties, it puts pressure, I believe, on it makes a stark contrast that the president is trying to take action. Congress is unwilling to do something about it. The president can continually go to the public, make his case, and ultimately the members of Congress, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, given enough constituent pressure, they will do what needs to be done.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to one candidate. Unfortunately, he lost, but he was a conservative running in a district that's close to the border. And he said that the whole border issue is really one of national security. It's not anything else. It's an issue of national security, and we all ought to remember that and think about that. Your thoughts?
I agree with that, and I don't see how you can avoid acknowledging that it's about national security, because they have apprehended people coming across the southern border from every country in the nation. I mean, every country in the world, I'm sorry.
Sure. You know, by the way, even the title of your article where you're talking, you're contrasting the two R words, reasonable or racist. Let's focus on racist, that issue for a moment, because sometimes you see on MSNBC or CNN, some of these commentators are basically saying, oh, look, let's be honest, Trump and his white supporters, they don't like people of color, and that's what this is all about.
Well, I have another article that was published today, how political correctness impedes immigration reform.
Wow.
And the political left uses all kinds of epithets to silence conservatives. And when it comes to immigration, they have set up a situation, as you just outlined, if you're white, then you're a white supremacist, or you're a xenophobe, or you're a nativist if you are conservative on immigration. And that's how it's framed. And it's not to advance a discussion that will benefit all Americans when it comes to public policy. It's to end the conversation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, too many Republican lawmakers are afraid of being called a racist, even though, you know, you're going to be called a racist anyway, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if it serves the purposes of the person who holds a different viewpoint. And so people need to get beyond reacting to the labels and make that case based on facts and stand firm on issues of national security that affect all of us, especially on this issue of immigration. And as far as President Trump, the article, whether or not his policies are reasonable or racist, they are quite reasonable given the fact that if you just look at the situation, suppose the government decided that they were going to process the 7,000 to 10,000 migrants at the border and allow them to apply for political asylum. That's such a backload. That means that they would get to stay in the country while they were waiting to appear before a judge 8 or 9 years from now. It would only encourage more people to try to enter using the same tactic, and it would leapfrog those people ahead of the foreign-born people who are trying to follow the law,
yes,
who are waiting or who have been waiting for years. They would go further to the back of the line, whereas the people who come here and ask for political asylum that they don't really qualify for, they would be rewarded for really a game in the system.
Yeah.
It's about game in the system. If you know you don't qualify based on the legal criteria, but if you use those magic words, then you get all of these rights that entitle you to stand before a judge many years from now.
But I think the left encourages this. And by the way, you were saying earlier about the left and, you know, they will call you a racist and then that kind of shuts the debate down. That reminded me of a line from Gary Bauer. He said, the left doesn't want to win the debate. The left wants to shut the debate down. And I thought,
yes,
whoa.
I mean, they don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to talk about science anymore when it comes to, gender identity. And so at one time, Christians were the ones that we were supposed to be fundamentalists, Neanderthals, anti-science. And now that science doesn't serve their purposes, they're anti-science. All of a sudden, the XY chromosomes mean nothing.
All right, now, and as far as the immigration issue, this is an interesting thing, but the United States apparently is one of the most generous nations on the planet when it comes to immigration, legal immigration, how many come in, and so forth. What we're dealing with here is illegal immigration, people who are, like you say, trying to leapfrog the system. You know, think about it. Even the president himself is married to a legal immigrant. I'm married, by the way, to a legal immigrant. My wife is from Norway. She became a citizen several years ago, but it was not an easy process, and she played by all the rules, and there was no leapfrogging there.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, to qualify for political asylum, you have to have a legitimate fear of persecution based on your religion, your national origin, your membership in a particular social group, or your political views. And there's no political asylum for people who fear gang violence or domestic abuse, impoverished living conditions, or just want a job. And so most of the people from Central America, they fall in that latter category. They say they're fleeing gang violence, domestic abuse, poverty, and they just want to work. They don't qualify for political asylum in the U.S., so the president is quite justified in making them apply on the Mexican side of the border for political asylum where they can be processed, and if they don't fit the criteria, then no, they should not be allowed in the country. So the president's policy is based on just rational behavior based on the law, as opposed to any kind of bigotry or that the left would say is operating.
All right,
and it's not about, the heart or someone not being compassionate. It's not compassionate to allow your country to be flooded when you can't take care of the people that you have in the country already.
All right, we're out of time, and on that note, we'll end. CarolMSwain.com or BeThePeopleNews.com. Dr. Carol Swain, thanks so much for joining us on Vocal Point.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.